Moses and Joshua have passed on. No longer is that one man at the top of the pile offering leadership, both spiritual, financial, philosophically. Joshua is now dead, and there's a period of time in which the children of Israel are ruled or managed or led by judges. Depending on the math, I believe the math of the Old Testament or in Acts, the New Testament, it's somewhere between 330 years and 420 years of being led by judges. Six of them that are very prominent, and a few others that don't warrant much talk because the Bible didn't talk about them. As a matter of fact, the one that precedes the young lady that we're going to talk about today, he had a whole full verse, and that was it. Not a book, not a chapter, but a verse. Shagmar, I believe is his name. It's found in chapter 3, verse 31. But he killed 600 people. That's right, he smote them. And that's what the verse says. Well, y'all looking at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. You think simply because I had to borrow a book, I don't know what I'm talking about? Chapter 3, verse 31, Terry, if you would, because they don't believe me. They don't believe me. I don't know why. Verse 31, what does it say?
After you who came Shamgar.
Isn't that what I said? Shamgar? Mm-hmm. All right.
Son of Anath.
Son of who?
Anath.
Okay.
Who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad.
See?
He too saved Israel.
Ehud is more prominent. Major, he smote people, the lefty, who smote Israel's enemies. But now today we're gonna talk about a young lady, because God is an equal opportunity employer, has always been, despite what seemingly is a patriarchal system, and it is. But the unit this quarter, we're going to talk about God's urgent call. And in it, this month, we're going to talk about very specific, matter of fact, the next 2 months, we're going to talk about very specific calls. And then we'll conclude in the New Testament with some general calls. But I looked at that, Fred, and saw where in the coming days we were going to talk about an urgent call of God. If it's urgent for God, wouldn't you think it's urgent for us? If it's urgent, that means that there's an emergency. There's an emergency. But yet we're talking about a call that he made back sometime. How can that do us any good? And is that call still relevant? I would suggest to you that after reviewing today's lesson, that you will find that urgent call is still there. It's very urgent because of the times and the circumstances that we live in. We will see that at the beginning of chapter 4, normally when we've dealt with judges, we always deal with the cycle of sin. We've been doing it in Sunday school forever. You know, the cycle of sin, and it shows us how Israel would get into sin and they'd have to repent and God would deliver them, and then they'd get into sin and they'd have to repent and God would deliver them. Did I say they would get in sin? But it sounds a lot like us. Maybe that's why the call is so urgent. Because I don't see that there's that much change from the situation that's described in our lesson today on Deborah and Barak than today. There's a crisis. There will be some taking of command, and there'll be some collaboration. But notice I said there was a crisis. What could this crisis be, and how could it be equivalent to what we are experiencing today? Well, I invite you to read verse 1 of chapter 4, Judges chapter 4, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. Why is it that we always got to have somebody over us to do right? I'll tell you why. There are none righteous. Man left to himself will annihilate himself. You don't need others to annihilate yourself. You will create a crisis because, and here's the reason. If you think wrong, you will do wrong. Oh, y'all got the Sunday school lesson. Somebody break out the snacks and let's just start partying because we don't even need to go no further. If you think wrong, you will do wrong. If you think wrong, you will be wrong. The issue is nobody thinks that they are wrong. And nobody thinks they're evil. But the word of God is very clear. In the sight of God, they were evil. They were doing evil. They were doing wrong. And it started with their thinking. And here's the number one thought. I can get away with it. That's what they say. I can get away with it. Because why else would you go on sinning and sinning? You think you got some chump for a father? See, why the kids go on doing what they do? Why they go on misbehaving? You know why? Because we're constantly pushing the boundaries. We get bored easily. And when we get bored, you know, we blame the devil. It's the devil's playhouse when we get bored. Simple message today. It's evil if God says it's evil. Now, you can believe whatever you want to believe. But if you're believing is contrary to God, it's wrong. And when you are wrong, God will deal with that wrongness. And I know they were doing wrong. Because all it takes is a quick perusal of Judges. Here we go again. I need your wife here. Judges 17:6. Somebody go there for me, and then, because I'm going to get these numbers right today. Judges 21:25. And I'm going to show you. Because you got a deal there. Anytime you do something that does not line up with the Word of God, it's wrong. And see, here's the issue. When you go to confess that sin, you're not telling God anything he doesn't know. Confession is simply acknowledging to God that what I did is wrong. I'm agreeing with you, Lord. I did it, and it's wrong. That's confession. 17:6. Anybody there? In those days, so I hear somebody. Everybody did as they saw fit. If everybody does as they see fit, they are wrong. I would not trust y'all in a room. I wish my wife was here. I told my wife, if I ever get in any kind of trouble with the law that requires a jury, Harris, you say I was there, I heard it. Just give me one man. Give me on a judge. I want no jury. Because leaving it up to y'all? Huh. Because everybody wants to do their own way. Everybody wants to have their own way. You say, Bruce, need that. Ain't necessarily true. Yeah. You know why? Because if the trial starts going too long, and it will go longer if they're accusing me, my dissertation alone will be 3 weeks. Everybody going to want to go home. They tired. They want to do, can't we have a break? Nah, listen to this evidence. Leaving it up to you, flawed people, you'll always do wrong. And it's been demonstrated throughout man's history. And in Israel, it's the same issue. They got a judge now, female judge. But they still doing the same old crazy stuff because Ehud is not around. Ehud was there to keep them straight. Like the new judge is not going to try and keep them straight. Like the new judge, appointed by God, called by God, is going to let them do whatever they want to do. But you know what? Hey, whoever screams the loudest, whoever's the loudest, you know, hey, we get our way. But just because you get your way does not mean it's right. Come here. Don't nobody go to getting crazy on me. But just think about socially and culturally the things that have changed in the last, we'll say, 15 years. 15 years ago, we in America believed one thing. 10 years later, totally the opposite, an exact flip. Now, guess what? If it was wrong 15 years ago, it's wrong today. Now, just because you changed your mind doesn't mean that God's changed his ways. And it says, they did evil. He told them, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't go out there messing around with those heathens. They did both of them. And God says, they continue to do evil. But here's one thing. I'm going to tell you, all you big bad people, it's my choice. We've got choice. We got freedom of expression. We need to express ourselves. We need to have that individual freedom. Yes, you do. You have that freedom. But it's one freedom you don't have, and that's the freedom of consequence. You don't get to decide what consequences of your choices are. You don't get to decide that. That resides in the hand of the one triune God, bottom line. And for those who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, there is a consequence. It's called the Great White Throne of Judgment. Bottom line, you ain't going to get to decide, well, you know what, I wasn't all that bad. I was down here in purgatory. Didn't somebody pray for me? And everything is cool now. If it was wrong on this side of Jordan, it'll be wrong on that side of Jordan. And the word of God is clear. They were in crisis mode because they did evil. Verse 2 says, and the Lord sold them Didn't I tell y'all didn't have nothing to do with the consequence? Y'all didn't believe me. Y'all thought he tripping today. Read verse 2. Is there some difficulty? Y'all having some? Lord have mercy. I told y'all. Here's the issue. The most important thing in that verse is God sold them to Jabin. Your father got sick of your mess and let your oppressors handle you. That's exactly what it is. In other words, your daddy, your physical daddy, got tired of your mess, and he called over your neighbor, who is your arch enemy, and let him whip you. See, I told you you didn't have nothing to do with the consequence. Well, it was your choice. Your choice to act bad and act ignorant, act all the aberrant. But God is in charge of consequences. And it says here, now that Jabin there, probably not a name, probably a title. It's like the Pharaohs. He was king. But the most important name there is Sisera, because Sisera was the commander-in-chief of the army of the Canaanites. Big, bad, oppressing army. And they're out there doing badly, and God turns them over to them. Now, and the children of Israel, y'all better get to reading. See, folks, I know why you didn't want to read it, because that's exactly what happens whenever we get in trouble. God done told you, stop doing it, stop doing it, stop doing it. As soon as we get in trouble, they cry out, oh, Lord, help me. Help me this time, Lord. I'm being oppressed. And let me show you the depths of their oppression here. They cried out unto the Lord, for they knew one thing. Lord, you done sold us to Jabin. They got 900 horses over there, chariots rather. And 20 years they have been oppressing us. Oh, Lord, our Lord. How long can this go on? Our heads are getting whipped. There's oppression all around us. See, but when you were out there making those choices, doing what you wanted to do, you weren't crying out then. That's the time to cry out. You know when you need to cry out? And especially those of you that are saved, you need to cry out as soon as you commit a sin. Don't be waiting. You need to cry out, Lord, that's sin. Why did I do this? But for 20 years, Jabin has been whipping their heads. Let me tell you about the oppression, because you got to know something about the Canaanites of the day. Here's the oppression that they would go. For 20 years, you went to work every day. Every day. And at the end of the week, you got paid good. And on your way home, the wife and children called, the girls called. Hey, Dad, what we gonna do? Oh, we gonna party tonight. We gonna throw down, have a little ribs. Okay, Dad, you're the greatest dad in the world. And you walk up to your door, and there's a guy standing there. Said, hey, T.E., how you doing? Hey, what you make this week? Hey, I made $2,000 this week. Well, yours, $1,500. And they took it just because they could. Now, the Israelites didn't have jobs then. It was crops. They took what they had. They took their women and children. They wanted to. You call that not oppression? You done worked all week, and now you can't enjoy the fruit of your labor? And you might come home and your wife may be there and she may not, because they're doing what they want to do. That's oppression, folks. And it's all because of your sin. They've been sold out. And now they're crying out. But I give them credit for one thing. You cry out. You know, the word has said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But it is very foolish not to cry out when you know God can take care. It is foolish to not pray and pray without ceasing when you know there's a God of the universe who can take care. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. They had enough sense to cry out, oh, Lord, help us. You know them people got all them chariots. Ain't nothing we can do. They done took my $2,000 for the last time, Lord, if you don't help me, because I'm scared to go up there messing with them chariots. And verse 4 says, and Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, the judge, she judged Israel at that time. And Deborah judged. That means she was called of God to judge. She had a certain skills and abilities and talents and gifts. And God calls her for just that time. He could have called anybody he wanted to. So don't get it all bent out of shape. Oh, you know, he had to, you know, they had to fix it up and call this woman. No, he called who was available because he needed somebody of a special skill, a special talent. He had it. She was a prophetess and she was a judge. Don't miss that. She was a prophetess because he called her. And that prophetess was, she was able to foretell. In other words, if you gave her a message, she could carry a message. In other words, God needed somebody to talk to these folk. Because evidently, something's not getting through. So I need somebody with some extraordinary communication skills, okay? And I'm picking Deborah, the wife of Lapidoth. It is the only time you'll see his name in the Bible. So it ain't like, you know, most of the women are there. Well, you know, Samson's wife. Nah. They ain't not talking about Gerard Samson's wife. They talking about Nina. They talking about Deborah. She was the prophet. She was the prophetess. And she foretell and foretell. Foretell in that she could carry a message. Foretell, you'll see that she even provided some future prophecy. And the issue, all of you who say, yeah, I think I can do that, we're going to judge you by the Old Testament standard. Every prophet that made a foretelling prophecy, if it didn't come true, they killed him. Bottom line, and I think that's the test that we need to use now. All y'all want to be prophets and prophetess? Yeah. If it don't come true, you die. Very important fact, file it back in your back of your mind, and you'll see as I progress here. She dwelt under a palm tree of Deborah between Ramah, Bethel, Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. She was a judge. She went about her administrative duties. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinadab, out of Kadesh, Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and the children of Zebulun? Well, I know one thing. She's at least a foreteller prophet. She told him what God told her. And you notice the thing? She didn't throw her little taste in there. She told him, this is what the Lord said. And the Lord, in his instructions, says, I've given you the route to take. I've told you how many men to take. I've given you strategy in these instructions. Just listen. Hey, go recruit. You know, you're going to recruit. And it's a good idea to go this route because these are the men and women that are most being affected. You certainly will get people to recruit. See, because a man may not act on his own, but somehow he seems to act differently in a group. So you get a mob of them together. You know, it's called mob psychology. That's how you get riots. You know, they act, you pick out the people individually. Why are you here? I don't know. Something to do. So God told him exactly what to do. And the issue here, though, is that she's telling it to Barak, the commander-in-chief. I want to say this one more time. He is the commander-in-chief of the army. He is Sisera's counterpart. He knows what the Lord has told him. But for some reason, he wasn't moving. I heard somebody say he's scared. Better hold your tongue. He may not be. Let's see. But I'm feeling that way because of something he said. I know why you said that, sis. But here's the thing. Did she do what the Lord said do? Go told him. He didn't say the Lord didn't tell you that. She's a true prophet. Foreteller, communicator. He knew. But what she was doing, she was encouraging him. She was an encourager. And God used her personality to encourage Barak. Another guy may not have been suitable. Maybe that's why God used a woman. Maybe a guy, his peers of that day would have said, hey, buddy. You didn't hear God? You better get up here. And Barak would have probably told him, do you know who you're talking to? See, ego gets in the way. So God says, I got to send another personality because my message has got to get through because Barak needs to do what I've asked him to do. Read verse 7 right quick. Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, and what kind of special ability did Deborah have? Zero. God doesn't want your ability. He wants your availability. He sent Deborah because she would go. God has asked us to go, and his message is to all of you, but he knows who's going to go. Go. And she went and told him, and even gave him military strategy. That's why some get all happy and say, oh, man, she's a great strategist. She just repeat what the Lord said. She's just repeating what the Lord said. She's doing her job. She's encouraging him. She's reminding him of what the Lord has already said. In other words, the Lord has said, this is how I'm going to handle it. Because someone said, verse 8, let's read verse 8, and then we can go into it because y'all want to get to verse 8 right quick. And what? You wimp. Behind a woman's skirt. That's what they said. I heard it already. You heard it too, didn't you? Somebody said he was scared. Oh, let's see. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about Barak, the general. Imagine, if you would, Mad Dog Mattis, General Patton, General Eisenhower, General Davis. Imagine If a female judge came up to him and said, "Look here, what y'all doing over there in Iraq?" And he would have said, "Look here, if you go with me, I'll go." The general, the commanding officer, is scared to go to Iraq? "If you go with me, I'll go." That is not the case. This lesson would not be called Deborah and Barack if that was the case. You know how I know? The Bible told me so. Check this out. Anybody know the Hebrewian scripture? Hebrews, the 11th chapter. What's the 11th chapter of Hebrews known for? Faith. Faith. And in there, because isn't that the one that says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not? But you know what? Also in that 11th chapter is what we call the honor roll of faith. In other words, these are folk who had exceptional faith. 11th chapter, verse 32. Nina, are you there? 11th chapter, verse 32. Let's see if I think my numbers been so off here lately. You know, it's because of retirement, though. I made the same mistake with these biblical numbers as I did with retirement numbers, Fred. That's why I'm going to come back, you know. Need a job, hey. I need a job. Messed up on the numbers, you know. 32. Read. Wait a minute. Who? Barack? Barack? He's on the honor roll of faith. And you're talking about he's scared? He didn't want to do it? No way. No way. Barack was doing what every spiritual individual ought to always do. Test the spirit of the prophet by the spirit. And here's what he said. "Okay, you said God told you all of that? Go with me. Because if you're wrong, we both gonna die." He's testing the spirit. Because you gotta see what Deborah said. Her name would not be here if she said the wrong thing. If she said, "Now, Barack, you know I'm a lady and I've got my husband to tend to." Barack said, "You go right on back home, and I'm going right on, because I ain't messing with this world and them boys." But you know what she said? "I'll go." Because once you have the word of God, and you know it's God, you know that you're not going on your own power. You're going on the power of God. And the other issue here is Barack knew one thing. There was a crisis. Deborah has come up and communicated a solution from God. She's demonstrating leadership. So why shouldn't we collaborate in this leadership? You got a crisis. Somebody's got to take command. But there should be good, because no one man can do it by himself. Despite what you've been hearing in the news media that I'm the only one that can do it, you can forget that. See, folks, here's the thing. Barack knew one thing. This is going to be a big campaign. He needed all the minds that could, to include Deborah's. To include Deborah's. And he realized, God's going with me, but two heads are better than one. I'll go if you go with me. And she stepped up to the plate. She didn't come back and say, no, I can't go. No, because when you've been called, you got to do ministry no matter what. See, a lot of folk are not stepping up in ministry because they're worried about collaborative efforts. They want to be a one-man show. And God has not called us to be long rangers. If you're going to lead something, you need to surround yourself with good people. Barak knew exactly what he was doing. He says, I trust the Lord, but I also trust the people that he sent to me. Was that chapter 11, verse 32? Y'all saw that word? That means he's on the honor roll. That means he ain't no chump. So wipe that out of your mind. Scared? Yeah, hey, courage is not the absence of fear. He may have been scared, but he knew one thing. God's sending me on this. If God's sending you out there, you can do anything through Christ who strengthens you. If God put, but a lot of times we run out on these adventures by ourselves. Talking about the Lord said. The next time somebody come up telling you, you know what, Ford, the Lord told me that you need to, the Lord told me that you, the Lord told, wait a minute. You mean to tell me the Lord told you to tell me? See, Barak didn't have that problem because he knew that God had told him to do that. For whatever reason, he didn't do it. So God says, I tell you what, I'm going to say it again. And this time, you didn't like my big baritone voice? I'll send you Deborah's soft voice. But either way, you're going to do what I say do. Because my people got to be delivered. And I'm going to deliver them through you too. Very interesting point right here. Verse 9. If Barak's got a problem at this point, he's in big trouble. And the problem would be ego. Do you realize I'm the four-star general? Do you realize what you just said? Hey, peon, you're just coming along. You're an advisor. I'm running the show here. Four-star. One, count them. Two, three, four. And a reef, that means that I am the commander-in-chief. Ain't nobody above me in this military. I give all the orders. And we're going to go into battle. We're going to whip some head. And I'm going to get the honor. He said not a word. He didn't say any of that. You know why? Because look, he ain't doing it for the honor. He's doing it for God. He's doing what God said. And I look when I, and he could have been tripping. I heard some of you guys, you know, talking about, how does woman think she going to do? Because I read the story too. She ain't did nothing. She ain't fought nobody. They just said she was there. But she's a prophetess. And what did she say? What was her prophecy? She never said, I'll get the honor. She says a woman will get the honor. Oh, you better listen. Because when you don't listen or you read too fast, you miss more than you catch. She said, a woman will get the honor, but I'll go. Now, in Barak's mind, he messed up. No big deal. But I applaud him. Because when he says, okay, Deborah's going to get the honor. That's in his mind, he probably thought, Deborah will get the honor. Somehow God is going to give her the honor for this. But we got to go do a job. Stop worrying about who gets the credit, folks. Stop worrying about who's up in front of the class, who's leading the class, who's leading the ministry, who's preaching out the pulpit, who's counting them. Stop worrying about that. Just do what you got to do, period. And all of it will be worked out. Because a lot of times, you're so concerned about who's going to get credit, whether or not your name is going to be called. Matter of fact, I suggested to a person in ministry, we'll remain silent, we'll remain nameless, rather. I said, let me tell you one thing. If you got sluggards in your ministry, Keith, I'll tell you. If you got sluggards in your ministry, here's what you do. When y'all have a banquet at the end of the year, don't call none of their names. called my name, called Sister Violet, called Nina, called anybody but Sister Face. Don't call. And I tell you what, you won't have to worry about them next year. That's how you get rid of dead weight in your ministry. People who's just glory hounds want their names called. Don't call their name. Because I don't do this because of name calling. And as a matter of fact, I'll tell y'all in this Sunday school class, because we're all members here today, when you're working in the ministry here under Ray Brown, your name may not get called a lot of time. You the hardest working thing, hardest working man in show business. But who are you doing it for? You're doing it for God. Got no ear. Barack said, no problem. Onward. Let's go. Onward, Christian soul. And you know what? Verse 10 says, and Barack called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Now the Bible says Barack went up. The Bible says Deborah went with him. Now, normally the person that is going up is the person, is the highlight, the main attraction. The person that went up with him is an opening act. So you would think Barack, Deborah's wrong here, Barack is getting the credit. Because Barack went up there with them 10,000 men, and let me tell y'all what happened. That's not printed in the lesson. They went up there and they whooped. Oh, they, Sisera, they beat him like he stole a government mule. Oh, they had this boy. They beat him. He was on the right, he was getting beat. On the left, because God, remember you told him about where to meet, where to go and recruit, Sister Marshall? The purpose of that was that God knew with all this iron, there's no way in the world they could maneuver those chariots in the terrain that God was sending them to. Good God. Oh, that should bless y'all. Because you ain't got to worry about no strategy. Let God use you. God will give you the strategy. God will give you the tactics. But they got them up there, Keith. And let me tell you, these boys, they were getting shot on the right and they were speared on the left. They were jumping. They were hollering. Killed them. Wore them out. I mean, he beat them down. But I got a prophetess with me. And this story, if it ends like this, I'm in trouble. Because a prophet is never wrong. Ain't that right? I haven't seen Deborah throw one spear, shoot one cannon, if they had her. Not one. They just said she was with him. Well, you ain't getting no honor for that. Because you was with him. He did the fighting, him and his 10,000 men. And Sisera is still alive. You know why? Because from the battle, when he saw he was being totally wiped out, he did what all good cowards do. Run! And he got the running. And he says, you know, what happens is that whenever you're in enemy territory, you're surrounded, you start seeking out a safe house. And so he remembered, I got some partners. Oh, JL's wife over there, she owes me a little something. I'll run over there. She saw him, oh, Sisera, turn in here. Come on in, Sisera. Whew, sis, thank you. Woo, them Israelis. They put some on us today. They done wiped us out. But I tell you what, you just give me a night's sleep and give me some refreshments, I'm going to raise another army, and I'm going to annihilate them. They all hate the day they were born. She says, okay. Sisera says, oh, I'm tired. So he slept. He slipped, brother, into a deep sleep. The issue is, he never returned. Come on. Because Sister JL took a stake that she pitches her tent with, and she drove it into the vampire that he was. She staked him and killed him. And because she staked him and killed him, a woman